Communication is everyone's right. That's the theme of this year's Speech Pathology Week. Diana Bleeby represents Speech Pathology Australia and she joins me now to discuss. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Jenny. How are you going?
Yeah, really well. Thank you. Trying to enunciate every single word perfectly for you.
A lot of people can say that.
Yeah. You know, like we're being marked or something.
Now, no, we're not elocutionists.
Oh, right. Hey, that's a really good point. Let's start there then. What is speech pathology? What is it that you do?
Okay, speech pathologists are university-trained professionals, allied health professionals, and they train in probably at least 7 or 8 different areas as undergraduates or master's students. So we look at language, both oral and written, expressive and comprehension, speech itself, which is the way that speech sounds are made. We can look at voice, like singers or teachers in particular who might get voice strains or might have some kind of injury, you know, maybe due to cancer or something like that, sadly. Fluency or stuttering. A lot of people don't realise that we also look at swallowing. So there's a lot of work in adult swallowing in particular in aged care facilities as some of our older residents' swallowing mechanisms start to deteriorate over time and it can be dangerous for them to swallow a normal diet. We work a lot with disability, particularly since the advent of the NDIS, and that can involve augmentative and alternative communication systems such as an iPad for communicating when someone's non-verbal or not able to express themselves enough verbally.
And a lot of us take communication for granted. It's not so easy for a lot of people though, right?
No, it's not so easy for a lot of people and it's not always obvious if they've got communication difficulties. We often refer to the walkers, non-talkers, because in the eyes of the public they look normal quite often, but they're having a great deal of difficulty possibly understanding what people are saying to them or being able to express themselves. And that's only just one proportion of the people we see. Other people have comorbidities, you know, such as autism, Down syndrome, and other things that go with communication difficulties as well as an adjunct.
And I bet that that's incredibly frustrating for those people.
Yes, and their families and those who want to see them succeed as well.
Mm. How common are communication disabilities in Australia?
Well, on average, it's 1 in 7 people have a communication disability of some sort, and that equates to 1.2 million people in the country.
So how are people with communication or speech disabilities impacted socially?
In varying ways. Because let's take, for example, a teenager, you know, who wants to get on with their peers and everything like that. They can't necessarily understand some of the innuendos and language that teenagers use, and so they can't really fit in with that. People, for example, with autism are often already impacted socially in the way that they can communicate with people, and if they've got more significant communication difficulties over and above that, that makes it worse. For older people, say, have had a stroke, they can no longer perhaps work in their circles of friendships and understand what's going on, and so they start to get more isolated. So it can have huge implications.
But there are some steps that you recommend taking in better communicating.
Well, where possible, it's great to get an assessment from a speech pathologist and possibly other professions who work alongside, maybe an OT or a physio. And then that assessment then dictates what the communication needs are. And then, where possible, we can implement an intervention program, which might be one-on-one therapy, it might be group work, it might be intervention through teachers and support people at school. So it does vary. It's not a one formula. And we try and use evidence-based practice to determine what that best intervention is going to be.
I bet there's increasingly better technologies available to help people out as well who are struggling with communication.
Oh, very much so. You know, everything from what you can do with iPad technology now, because often those things were manually made and now they can be done electronically, down to really severe people with really severe communication needs. We've got something called eye gaze technology where they actually use a light pointer to point to something on a screen to show what they want, and that's often someone who's got severe cerebral palsy, for example.
Mm.
I've got a family friend whose son's in that position.
Oh, right. Yeah, it would just be such a marvellous thing, I imagine, seeing that, you know, that someone who's really struggling being able to actually express themselves.
You still need to have the time and the resources to be able to set that up properly, though, and that is one of the challenges. You know, hence saying it is still everyone's right to have communication, but it's not always easy to get exactly what they need.
It's Speech Pathology Week. We have Diana Bleby on the line. She's representing Speech Pathology Australia. And Diana, you'd like to see more services available in our regional communities, I hear.
I think the regional communities are particularly challenged, and I've seen it myself because I travel to one of the regions every fortnight, and it's harder to attract staff to the regions and keep them there. And as a result, sometimes, and depending on the populations, that one in seven is probably more like one in four or five, depending on what level of intervention or early intervention may have been available to them in the past. That one in four or one in five is a guess on my part, but from my observations, I could see that.
From what I understand, I've got some friends who are speech pathologists, and they absolutely love it. Do you advocate for, you know, getting into the field? Are there lots of opportunities to work in the field in the future?
Oh, look, there are plenty of opportunities. At the moment, it is harder to get, people. There's only one university graduating speech pathologist at the moment, and that's Flinders, and they've been the one that's been there all along.
Oh, wow.
In 2 years' time, UniSA will graduate their first class, and in 3 years' time, Adelaide Uni will. So at the moment, it is harder to get people. Well, I've actually got someone coming to the Riverland from Sydney, but she's not coming very fast at the moment for obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course. And border restrictions and all that. Your practice as well, Good Prospects Speech Pathology and Psychology in South Australia. That's made me think the name of it. Psychology must play a big role in all of this and communication as well.
Look, psychology and speech pathology work alongside each other very well because people with communication difficulties, let's say a school-aged child, it doesn't mean they've got an intellectual disability. And so psychologists can then determine that they do have normal cognition, but they have a communication disability over the top of that, because some people with significant communication difficulties can come across as if they might have an intellectual disability or something like that. But also there are people who require counselling due to their communication needs. We only have psychology because there ended up being no psychology services left in the Riverland after another group left. So that's why I ended up bringing psychologists in.
There you go. Well, it sounds like you've got your hands full, so I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us, Diana.
Thank you so much for having me.